Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
No naps today, John.
No, this is going to be good. And at the break, we just were talking in reference, we could build a house here with, but what are you, John? Iron.
I was a metallic lathe reinforcing iron worker.
Okay. And Devon?
I was a painter.
And you're a glazier.
Glazier, yes.
And then Peter's electrician. And Christina's going to decorate. So we're going out. After
and
this,
and you and I hire people to do that stuff.
We'll get lunch. Yeah. two things. One I wanted to talk about, we just started to talk about Long Island City and the boom that occurred there and how it occurred there. And then I also want to get to Alan just in reference to, you know, you're the youngest guy here and really what the union personally has done for you, which is important.
Right.
It's, you know, we're talking generic and people who have gotten hurt, not hurt, are restricted and have been abused. But then there's also the most wonderful part of it, stories like Alan's, that can move forward in life because of the backing of a union. But you had started, Peter, in reference
to what I was saying, if you go into Long Island City these days and you see the results of the boom and then you find out of all places in New York City that there was entirely non-union, I think it's reflective of some of the problems that's going on these days with exploitation of workers of any age. And it's a lack of education, but specifically a lack of labor history.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, just with the ebbs and flows of immigration and everything else, it started many, many years ago. And I think that when immigrants came to this country, I'd say in the last 20, 30, 40 years, the problem is they weren't educated on what the labor movement did in this country.
Right.
And a few years ago, I read somewhere out west, a company offered 10 paid holidays. And I was shocked that one of look, you know, it's freedom of choice. This is capitalism. I'll back capitalism. Right. But the workers of this company voted not to take off on Labor Day, and they chose some other holiday.
Wow.
And that just represents the lack of education.
Yeah.
I don't think it's taught well in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taught well in high schools. And I think if there's a deeper understanding of what this country went through to protect workers' rights, protect families, everything from safe working conditions to decent wages, again, to discrimination, yeah, everything, it would add to it. But, you know, the pendulum swung so far. So, you know, going back to what I was saying, it's just mind-boggling that in all places, such a blue state and such a hardcore union state in a city like New York could have let so much non-union work go on. But, you know, I mean, that's an open-ended conversation. It'd take forever.
Yeah. But how does that happen? Like, a public building doesn't have to be
private union? Building. Private building. That's all private. Co-ops, condos, whatever.
Actually, the law, neither one of them have to be union.
Yeah.
You can't mandate that any job is union. You can mandate that jobs are prevailing wage public works.
Right.
However, if a contractor is non-union and they pay their workers the prevailing wage on that job, they do not have to belong to a union.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to get into now is worker deaths in construction and the NICOSH report, and that's NYCOSH.org, and it's called Deadly Skyline.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of 2017, 69 construction workers were killed in New York State. That's one every 5 days. 86.7% of those workers were killed on non-union sites outside New York City. 93% of those workers were killed on non-union sites inside New York City. It directly correlates with a lack of training and safety and lack of union representation, where there's a shop steward on the job who makes sure that his workers are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had any other occupation in this country, police, fireman, politician, lawyer, financial guy, one was dying every 5 days, there would be outrage. So I'm putting a call out to the seniors to become educated on this issue and help these workers who are being killed on these jobs, because not enough people are standing up for them, not enough people are defending them, and it is a disgrace that it's been allowed to go on for so long. And the direct grow of market share in the non-union industry is a direct link to these people dying on the jobs, because employers don't care. They'll just get another guy. It's a shame, but that's the reality of the situation.
And John, we were together like 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. That's the first time I heard that statistic.
Yep.
And if you ask me how many people died, I was maybe one or two. It happens, God forbid. Maybe somebody had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about they fell through the damn floor or some ridiculous thing that wasn't set up properly.
Last week there were three workers that perished, three construction workers. Last week alone.
I have a cousin who died, was an elevator worker, and he went...
He fell in the shaft.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and this, honestly, you don't hear about these whatsoever.
There are some accidents, because construction is a dangerous business.
On any job.
But the level that this has grown to, clearly, that's not the case here. And like I said, if we had any other occupation where people were dying at this rate, there would be outrage from every politician out there. There would be outrage. There would be all kinds of task force formed. And what's going on? We're working with our DAs, and they're doing the best they can, but everybody needs to become aware of the situation and help us stop this from happening to workers.
Not to get political, but I remember when I was in the business and Ronald Reagan came into office, they cut the OSHA representatives in New York City by 90%.
Well, that's something else. Investigators and the resources that the Department of Labor or OSHA have, they are so strapped that they can only make it to the most egregious case. And that is a problem as well.
There's a lack of manpower in OSHA.
A lack of manpower, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you're doing is very important, and that is, if you think about history, civil rights, voting suffrage, all these things get forgotten. Wars, the results of the war. We have to do the whole stupid thing all over again, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just like generation to generation, really, they have to keep educating the next generation. Or whatever happened in the past, like women couldn't vote 100 years ago. A lot of women forget that a lot of people paid a price for that. And it's the same, I think, with what you're describing. You know, people did pay a heavy price.
Well, and I'm going along with John here, 69. So this year could be 75, right. And next year. So what is the number? Is it 3,000? That somebody says, "Oh my God, 3,000 people died."
And probably the worst part about that was Carlos Moncayo died in Manhattan about 2-3 years ago. Yeah. The fine was $10,000.
Oh my God!
From a contractor. And right now there's a bill in the state trying to pass where if a worker is killed on a construction site, they're trying to up it to $500,000 with jail time. But, you know, you tell a worker you put a worker in a certain situation when you yourself wouldn't put yourself in that situation, and someone he got buried alive. And
that's the part that makes you sick. $10,000? I don't mean it the way it sounds.
And, yeah.
He doesn't even know the guy, and he wrote a check, $10,000, he walks away from it.
And then the other part of Carlos's tragedy is that the safety inspector from the city was on that job, and they were warned about 20 times before that young man perished in that hole. And that there was a manslaughter case brought there, and he was found guilty. But when you think about it, a lot of these cases, they're not being criminally prosecuted.
So he was found guilty. What happened, though?
$10,000.
Oh, that was the end result.
$10,000, and he had to run safety commercials. That was optional.
I think the supervisor or something did go to jail for a little while, perhaps. But when we talk about the fines, if you make $50 million on a job, and you pay $10,000.
And it shouldn't be the super. The owner of the company goes to jail. There comes a point where it's like, what are you guys doing out there?
Yeah,
this is what happened. I should go to jail.
But obviously the system's broken too, because after three warnings, the job should be shut down.
Absolutely.
Yep. Stop working. Okay. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, at some point, you know, it's... Whatever. I get it.
No, that's a good point.
It should be shut down.
What's the point of the warning if you don't have to adhere to it?
The system has to take accountability, too. Right. I totally agree. Right. Three warnings, and then you have to hurt the employer where it hurts most. Mm-hmm. Shut down, just start losing money, and that's when they'll start caring.
Yeah, and I don't know who said it, but we were talking about the education. Like, all the, you know, there's a reason the union construction sites are more safer. You know, we have the education, we have the apprenticeship programs. You know, and I think you're right about education in high schools. You know, I went to a vocational high school. They actually did teach us about unionism.
Which school did you go to?
Thomas Edison.
I went to Jamaica right next door.
Did you go right across the street?
Wow. Yeah. But way before you.
But it's like, you know, they taught us about unionism and what workers went through. But there's not nearly enough. And then I think it's on us in the union world and other folks to spread the word on, you know, on about apprenticeship, about unionism, why it's important, and the kind of, you know, kind of middle class lifestyle you can live. There's dignity in doing construction work, right?
I walk many picket lines. It's very hard. You're talking about changing someone's convictions and mindsets. And again, I'll bring up the word that John was using before is fear. People are scared. Yeah. People are scared to raise complaints. People are scared to go again. They don't want to lose their jobs. They want to feed their family. It's been that way. It's been that, I mean, did you ever see the movie Norma Rae? It's phenomenal. You have to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Actually, everybody should watch that movie. It's one of in my mind, it's one of the best representations of what a working person, working mm-hmm. family has to go through, and what the struggles of organized labor has to go through. Fantastic.
And people should take note of Sarah Nelson, the president of the Flight Attendants Union, because when the federal workers were told to stay home, she called for a national strike of flight attendants and got those workers back to work. So she is the strongest labor leader in this country right now, who is willing to call a national strike of her people because she felt that there weren't enough people in the air traffic controllers' booths and they were putting her workers at safety. So she called for a national strike. And within a day or two, I'm not sure the exact time frame, but all those federal workers were back on the job. So she has shown all the other labor leaders in this country what they need to do to gain back worker power in this
country.
And
it can be done.
It absolutely can be done.
I think that that kind of thing has to come across in a very positive way, too, so that people don't get the attitude that this is just a bunch of thugs who are trying to stop something. You know, I'm doing this because there's safety and whatever. And I think the education process has to bring that positive part out. You know, this is why we're doing it. We're not doing it to be give people a hard time.
And I think the original message of the unions was that when non-union workers saw what union workers had and the benefits and the wages that they had, they went to their employers and they would say, well, Alan's in a union and he makes really good money and benefits. You can certainly afford to pay me a little bit more and give me medical benefits as well. And the marketing has been spun this to be really well to our workers today because of the selfish nature of society now says, well, Alan has benefits. He shouldn't have those benefits because I don't have them. And people need to start thinking the other way and say, well, they have benefits. Workers' wages and benefits in union are the way that it should be, the way that the middle class was built. And they're taking that away slowly but surely, corporate America. And people need to change the way that they think about that. I saw something recently that said, well, a burger flipper shouldn't make $15 an hour because the EMT people make $15 an hour. Perhaps the people who do emergency medical technicians should make more than $15 an hour. We're not addressing the problems with the correct conversation.
It's a race to the bottom, essentially.
It's because labor and organized labor in this country is losing the war on publicity. Unions become a dirty word, unfortunately, and they don't understand that. I'm a capitalist. I'm something that you never hear of. It's called a democratic capitalist. I believe in capitalism. It works.
Yeah.
However, too much of a good thing is usually no good. And in capitalism, if an employer could replace with an employee with a monkey, they would. So who's it up to protect that is to organize. But it's the fear, it's the education, and
guess
the whole combination.
Guess who I have to cut off again?
Yeah, told you.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM. We'll be right back.